Former President Donald Trump will be back on the campaign trail in Wisconsin this weekend. He's expected to talk about immigration Saturday and Prairie du Chien. It's Wednesday, September 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a Verona-based software company is being accused of violating antitrust law. A former Green Bay Packers quarterback says he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And WPR's Kate Archer Kent sits down with the Democratic presidential nominee, current Vice President Kamala Harris. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today is a perfect way to stay current on Wisconsin news, including headlines with context from around the state. It's your support that makes it possible. Give now at WPR.org/givewitoday.
Donald Trump returns to the Badger State this weekend for a scheduled stop in southwestern Wisconsin. As Sarah Lear reports, Trump's campaign has signaled that the former president will hammer calls for stricter border security.
The Republican presidential candidate plans to deliver remarks on Saturday at an art center in Prairie du Chien. A news release from Trump's campaign accuses the Biden-Harris administration of enabling illegal immigration and endangering Americans. The release also indicates that Trump will highlight the recent case of Alejandro José Coronel Zarate. Prairie du Chien police arrested Coronel Zarate earlier this month on charges including sexual assault and battery. Prairie du Chien police have said Coronel Zarate is a non-citizen with suspected ties to a Venezuelan gang. Throughout his campaign, Trump has tied immigration to crime and promised to carry out mass deportations. But multiple studies have found lower crime rates among immigrants compared to native-born U.S. citizens. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, Republicans and Democrats on the Wisconsin Elections Commission battled yesterday over how absentee ballots can be delivered on Election Day. The dispute stems from two voter complaints filed against clerks in Greenfield and Brookfield. The voters say they were told they could not drop ballots off at their polling places, and the clerks required them to be delivered hours before the end of in-person voting. Republican commissioners Don Millis and Bob Spindell said absentee ballots have to be hand-delivered to clerks' offices on Election Day. Democratic Commission Chair Ann Jacobs said the board approved ballots being returned to polling places more than a year ago.
I'm sort of floored that coincidentally in a political year where there's a tax on absentee voting, suddenly we're changing our minds on the rules. I'm just flabbergasted by that. We made those instructions mandatory.
Ultimately, the commission delayed action on the complaints indefinitely. Epic Systems is being accused of violating antitrust law in a federal suit filed this week. Joe Schultz has more on the allegations facing the Verona Health Software Company.
The lawsuit was filed on behalf of New York startup Particle Health. It estimates that up to 94% of the U.S. population has at least one health record in an Epic database. The suit says Epic used its position to stamp out competition. Particle Health says it was directly affected by those efforts. Peter Karstensen is a professor emeritus at the UW-Madison Law School. He says the case resembles similar suits against large tech companies.
All involve similar kinds of claims. That is, that this dominant firm has used its power in a variety of ways to exclude competition.
In a statement, Epic called the lawsuit's claims baseless. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Former Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre says he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. His comments revealing the diagnosis came while testifying to Congress about possible misuse of taxpayer funds. According to NBC News, Mississippi paid $70 million worth of welfare money to Favre, a professional wrestler, a horse farm, and for the construction of a volleyball complex. Favre received money for speaking engagements, which he never made. The volleyball complex is located at his former college, where his daughter was a player. Favre testified about the scandal yesterday. He told Congress that he repaid the money he received. Favre played 20 seasons in the NFL, 16 of those in Green Bay, where he won three league MVPs and also Super Bowl 31. Coming up, we've got an interview with Vice President Kamala Harris. Stay with us.
Your place for independent journalism with the best of NPR and WPR.
Wisconsin is expected to be one of the most competitive states in the general election.
What is your advice on what all of us should be talking about, issues that you think...
The environment is super important to me and preserving that.
We've really been working for reproductive freedoms, LGBTQ rights.
But I definitely do feel some of that lack of enthusiasm for my...
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Weekdays on WPR News.
And finally, on Wisconsin Today Morning News, WPR spoke with Vice President Kamala Harris about several pressing issues facing our state and how the Democratic presidential nominee would address them if elected in November. Host Kate Archer-Kent started the conversation by looking at Harris's proposals to address a shortage of affordable housing.
Turning first to housing affordability, Wisconsin has a shortage of affordable housing. Median home price in our state has jumped by 41% since September of 2020. You proposed up to $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. What would it take to be eligible for that type of assistance?
Well, first of all, let me just say that part of the housing issue writ large across our country is that we just don't have enough supply. And so part of my plan is what we need to do to increase supply and help people get their foot in the door, which includes the $25,000 down payment assistance. But let me just back up for a moment. Look, I grew up a middle class kid. My mother worked long days, she worked weekends, and she was able to save up so that by the time I was a teenager, she was able to buy our first house. And so I understand and have as part of my lived experience, understanding, one, a lifetime practically of being a renter, and also what it means for families to aspire to own a home. But, hard, you know, it takes a lot of time, and that was many, many years ago, and the American dream of home ownership has become even more elusive. So my policies and my new plan to approach and deal with this problem is twofold. One, to work with the private sector and home builders to create incentives for them to build 3 million new homes by the end of my first term. And the second, to your point, is a $25,000 down payment assistance for first-time home buyers, and that's the threshold. First-time home buyer. And again, the point there is people just need help literally and figuratively getting their foot in the door. And once they're able to do that with having enough for a down payment, you know, folks work hard. They save up and the monthly payments will be more within their reach. But that down payment piece is really one of the big obstacles for first-time home buyers to be able to even plant themselves in a position where they can then build up their ability to buy a home. And frankly, home ownership is one of the best ways that people create wealth for their family and intergenerational wealth. So I'm very clear about the connection between this point and what can be a lifetime of economic opportunity for an individual or a family.
And if elected, you have said you'll work with private industry home builders to build these 3 million new homes and rental units during your first term. How do you incentivize the building of new housing that's affordable for the people who need it most?
So part of it is tax credits and creating tax credits for home builders, but home builders who are going to do the work of building homes that are affordable to middle-class people, to working people, to families. The second is to cut through the red tape that currently, you know, it exists in from local, state, and federal levels, and really cutting through the red tape so that we don't unnecessarily burden the ability to actually create this additional housing that brings down the cost of home ownership and rent. And part of it is also I have a plan to take on corporate landlords who they have to be held accountable. We've seen in so many places around our country, these corporations come in, they buy up a bunch of property, and then they jack up the prices, and it becomes too expensive for people to actually be able to afford to live where they work and where they want to live. And so that is a piece of it. And it's something where, you know, bad actors also need to be held accountable. But this is obviously a multi-pronged approach because the factors contributing to high rents and housing affordability are many. And my plan is to attempt to address many of them at once so we can actually have the net effect of bringing down the cost and making homeownership renting more affordable.
Let's look at water quality now. Communities all over Wisconsin struggling with toxic PFAS contamination in their water supply. And our state natural resources department, it's relying on a decades-old spills law to clean up emerging forever chemicals and hold businesses accountable. If you win the White House, would that lead to further federal regulation of PFAS?
Well, let me start with this. My commitment to these issues is longstanding. You may know, 20 years ago when I was elected DA of San Francisco, I created one of the first environmental justice units of any DA's office in the country. I, as Attorney General of California, was a real leader on making sure that we enforced rules and standards that were about reducing PFAS, about what we need to do to obviously writ large reduce greenhouse gas emissions and also hold polluters accountable. And so this is longstanding work and really, frankly, a deep-seated and longstanding commitment that I have to addressing these issues, including during the time I've been vice president, where we are in the process of delivering nearly $2 billion in funding to help Wisconsin and the communities within Wisconsin address toxic PFAS chemicals, including the work that we are also doing, which I've been a leader on, frankly, which is dealing with lead pipes and eliminating lead pipes, and then, of course, protecting the Great Lakes from the climate crisis. And I just have to also mention that this is in great contrast to my opponent. Donald Trump refused to protect communities from PFAS, and he has sided again and again with polluters rather than with the families of Wisconsin. And I think there's a big contrast here on a very critical issue in terms of the public health and well-being of Wisconsinites.
Now to abortion. You've said you want to work with Congress to pass a federal bill to codify abortion rights. How do you plan to get enough support in Congress to restore abortion rights when you'd likely need to pass a Senate filibuster? You'd have potential legal hurdles.
Well, let me first say to all your listeners, you must reelect your Senator Tammy Baldwin, because we need the votes in Congress to do exactly what you are saying, and that's true. And it is well within our reach to hold on to the majority in the Senate and take back the House. And so I would also emphasize that while the presidential election is extremely important and dispositive of where we go moving forward, it also is about what we need to do to hold on to the Senate and win seats in the House. That being said, I've been very clear. I think we should eliminate the filibuster for Roe, and we need and get us to the point where 51 votes would be what we need to actually put back in law the protections for reproductive freedom and for the ability of every person and every woman to make decisions about their own body and not have their government tell them what to do.
Vice President Harris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. Thank you so much.
WPR has also reached out to former President Donald Trump's campaign with an invitation for an interview. And that'll do it for this jam-packed News Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. We're back in your podcast feed tomorrow morning and every single day afterwards, so hit subscribe, leave a review, let us know how we're doing, and have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.